real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing it a man. Slam dunk.
Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah. The word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We roll till 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700. You can always get in on the show at 264-1700. Again, that's 264-1700. On the way in roughly about 10 minutes or so, Ben Jacobson, head basketball coach at UNI. Trent, it was nice that you and I finally got off the schneid as well.
Yeah, got the victory that they needed, ending their winless streak. And, well, we can move past that narrative now for all the three public schools with UNI, but they're sitting still at the bottom of the conference, a 1-5 record. They can change things, though. They can start to get pointed in the right direction. Remember, a year ago, they got off to that rough start at the beginning of conference play, battled their way all the way back, and stayed out of the play-in game in the opening round of the MVC tournament. I guess, for now, that's a realistic goal. They get Drake coming in tomorrow night for their matchup against the Panthers. Then they go on the road to Southern Illinois. Southern got them at home at the beginning of conference play. But it just feels like Jimmy B, the Panthers, they got to get the offense back on track. We know about that. And felt like they did that a little bit Saturday night. I was doing a little flipping back and forth, and the offense looked good. The offense was cranked up in a big way. And, well, a big reason for that, again, was the freshman, Taiwan Pickford. And that kid, he is so, so good, so talented. And it gives hope, certainly, for the future as well for you and I. The problem is, this wasn't supposed to be about next year. This is what's supposed to be about the future this year. This was supposed to be a team that was supposed to be there competing for the conference regular season crown, and they've dug themselves a deep, deep hole at 1-5.
I agree, and the thing that now is steadfastly in place is that the Valley has absolutely really no shot to get two teams in, and so now it's just going to be the winner of the tournament. So for you and I, it doesn't matter for them if they went like, I'm trying to remember the figure you said, like 14-3 or something like that, where plus their non-conference would really be impressive, but obviously that's not the case. And so now the Valley winner of the conference tournament in St. Louis will be the representative in the NCAA dance. Trent, I was dumbfounded pretty much while they were losing four straight games like that to where the hell their offense went. We got to ask Coach Jake that if he has, an explanation on why all of a sudden the shots just dried up. I mean, I get it for a game, but not for four games. And I know that you're still going to go out and you're going to play, solid defense. And they lost some of those games at home, and that was even more troubling. You understand a road loss a lot better than you do a home loss. But it was just one of those things where, man, oh, man, their offense just went right in the dumper. And maybe now they have finally shot themselves back into it a little bit. At least get off the schneid with the offense.
Yes, I need to get that going. We got Coach Jacobson coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll be talking with him about that matchup with the Bulldogs, the first-place Bulldogs, just like we had at Jimmy B. We nailed it, right?
Yeah. We were all over that one.
Sure.
You got it. Yeah, Drake in first place in the Valley. Yeah.
Well, Jimmy B, today, Martin Luther King Day, and a lot of people with the day off, a chance for remembrance. But also, we got a lot of hoops going on. Some NBA action. I figured, well, what better time than to give you a minute to talk about your crappy NBA. Time now for Jimmy B's crappy NBA minute.
New prison was unsealed in Chicago Stadium. Ricky Mahorn hustling underneath, can't get it to fall. Jordan to the hoop, King in the air, score!
It is MLK Day, celebrated always by the NBA, as there are games all day long and all night. The big premier game today features the Golden State Warriors at the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Trent, you degenerate that you are, the Warriors are a 5-point favorite on the road at Cleveland. The Warriors, a 5-point favorite on the road at Cleveland. This is going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to watch it. I will, with the Warriors and Golden State on MLK Day. It's what the NBA does. They do it so well in their league, and they feature their stars so well. And this day brings out the best in the NBA.
So, Jimmy B, over the weekend, we see a great game between Texas Tech and West Virginia. But afterwards, some disappointing actions. So, today, the Big 12 announced a $25,000 fine against Texas Tech for the court storming since they didn't control it. Also, a public reprimand that was given out. But Wesley Harris, a player for West Virginia, strikes a student that is coming onto the floor and also gives him a little bit of a shove. Mm-hmm. No suspension? No suspension at all for this? That struck me as incredibly odd. I thought at the very least there was going to be a one-game suspension for this. Nothing? All you give the kid is a public reprimand for hitting somebody like that? What's the Big 12 doing?
I'm going to differ with you because I am not siding with lunatics that run out on the field after a game or on the court after a game. I've been involved in a couple of those. I had to rescue my color commentator one time who was going to get bulldozed by kids coming over the wall. And it's not just kids. It's grown adults who are stupid enough to run out on the field afterwards. I get the excitement. It is fun. I have done it as a youngster. Yes, I have. But it's dangerous. And it's not just dangerous for the ignoramus running out on the court, Trent. It's dangerous for the players. Now, here's the thing. I looked at that video a couple of times, and it's difficult to see if that player was threatened or taunted or anything like that during that run out onto the court. And I think it's correct that they fined Texas Tech. They had zero protection around the court when that game was over. So there was nowhere for the other team to go, for West Virginia to go. They couldn't escape. They were caught in that scrum. So I'm not going to side with it being a-okay to strike somebody, but I am not going to get where I got to say, oh, he hit that kid. He hit that kid. Well, he might have been protecting himself, and the kid was stupid enough to run out there. That's the way that I view it. Do I think it was wrong for him to strike the kid? Yes, it was. But on the other hand, if he felt that he was in a protection mode or was being, I guess, just razzed completely by that particular fan in the heat of the emotion, I understand it. But if indeed you're going to run out on the field and then you get run over by a football, this is what really pisses me off. Stupid fans run out on the field and then they get hit by players trying to get off the field. And then they want to sue. He hit me. You idiot. You're on his turf. Get off his turf. Once the players leave, you want to run out on the field? Go right ahead. But you're asking for it, and unfortunately it did take place in that game, Trent.
You're not asking for it, Jim. You're not asking to
you
get
are.
Hit in the back
yes,
of the
are.
Head
no,
by a 6 foot 8.
You're asking for trouble.
No, you're not.
You're asking
you're going
for
out
trouble.
There to
you
celebrate.
Are running out there. I get it, but I'm not looking at it at the fans' perspective. It's dumb to do
so,
that to
so
begin
got,
with. You know
so,
that.
All right. So no suspension is warranted there. It's
yes.
Okay for players to take swings at opposing fans. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying that if the player felt intimidated or threatened, he has a right to defend himself. Some idiot running out on the court, you know how, you've been around them, you know what it's like, Trent. They'll say anything, run up at players, gesture, celebrating that they're number one with the middle finger. Look, you just lost. You don't want to be involved in something that ridiculous. What I'm saying is that you are on the player's turf. You came onto the player's turf.
It's kind of like a get off my lawn moment.
It's a get off my lawn moment.
Same thing happens there. Instead of a young student that was a male, it was a female. You're still okay with it.
If you run the risk of running out there, you run the risk of possible retaliation. That's my point.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm saying if you're going to run the risk of going out on the field or the court,
then you should watch for fists.
That you should watch.
Well, all right. If you're going to set it up that way, then you're going to lead to a lot more problems. If that's the way you're going to set it up, if students say, "I'm going to go out here," and you know what? If somebody bumps me, I'm going to go right back at him because we got to be ready, because that's what Jim Brenson says. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. And that says a lot.
It is not the dumbest thing. No, the dumbest thing are fans running out on the court that they have no business running out on. That's not their territory.
Then stop it.
That's the dumbest thing.
Then have it be stopped. It's not the dumbest thing, Jimmy B. It's fun.
I agree.
It's enjoyable.
It is. They stopped it. No, it's an enjoyable experience for a fan, not the players.
You didn't see the flares for Texas Tech bouncing around in the middle? I certainly saw that. You see the
flares? Was he trapped?
No, he wasn't trapped.
Oh, you mean the Texas Tech?
Yes.
Okay, yes. No, I get that. All right, but let the other players get out. That's where I'm going with
this. Well, that's on Texas Tech security.
It is. It is on their. It's their fault that this took place.
And they were fined. They were given a fine, and they were reprimanded. But for nothing to happen to Wesley Harris is laughable. Absolutely laughable, Jim.
No, I would not suspend the kid if he felt threatened.
He didn't feel threatened. Go back and watch the video. He threw a swing because he's a punk. That's it. That is bottom line what it was.
No, you had goofy fans running out where they didn't. No, you had fans running where they had no business to go.
Whatever. All right. That's about as ridiculous as we're going to get. But we got to get a break here. We got Ben Jacobson stopping by. Hopefully he'll add a little levity to this conversation. As we come back on the other side, it's the head coach for the Panthers, Ben Jacobson, on Jimmy B and TC.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700 KBGG. We made it. A new year upon us, a happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Start spreading the news. Variety's Black Tie Gala, New York, New York, is set for January 19th. Black Tie is a gala evening emceed by Des Moines native David Anthony Higgins, known for his role in hit television show Mike and Molly. The evening features cocktails, dinner, and dancing. Variety, the children's charity, works to improve the lives of underprivileged, at-risk, and special needs children by gifting bikes, building inclusive playgrounds, providing support to critically ill children, and more. Join us January 19th at Black Tie to ensure all children are able to reach their full potential. Get your tickets for Variety's Black Tie at varietyiowa.com/blacktie.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
As a poop emoji, I see a lot of crap out on the road. But if you get in a car and don't wear a seatbelt, you're being a real head. Buckle up and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
Do you see cracks in your foundation, brick, or drywall, or doors and windows that stick? These are all signs of serious settlement issues. Call Midwest Basement Systems for all things basement-y. Basement waterproofing, basement structural repair, foundation settlement repair, and wall straightening and bracing too. Our engineered solutions will stabilize and lift your home back to level, putting you back on solid ground. Call Midwest Basement Systems today.
Midwest Basement Systems got the fix. Call 289-1606.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock on an MLK day. We say hello to you. It's always a pleasure when we get a chance to talk to UNI head basketball coach Ben Jacobson. He joins us right now on the Big Talker 1700. Coach, how are you, and are you feeling much better now that you got off the schneid with a victory?
Yeah, we're doing good. Guys really played well on Saturday against Belpo. Had a, for 36 or 37 minutes, just played great. Had put together a really good defensive performance, and had some guys, in particular the two freshmen.
To fix things and turn it around. If the team's winning, well, everybody's happy and nobody's thinking about that. You struggle a little bit, and then it comes back to the coach. Was it just in those four games where you guys couldn't collect the W that the ball was just not dropping, or did you tinker with something after looking at film and assessing everything that you had to finally kind of get the offense back on track?
Yeah, we had to change some things offensively. There weren't major changes, but we had to, we had to get some guys into some different spots and run a couple of different actions or tweak the actions we had, just enough to help the guys. And it might have been a spacing issue. It might have been where we entered the post. It might have been, what we were looking to do in transition. So we certainly had to make some adjustments. As I said, some of them very slight adjustments. Some of them maybe adding something with a little more movement to it. And because it was a combination of a couple of things, and two of them being just having a hard time putting the ball in the basket. But the other one, always making sure that we're getting guys, helping them get in the spots where they're going to be comfortable and where they're going to have some confidence. So, we've made a couple of little adjustments, and I think those have helped. And I also think the guys have just got a little bit better bounce in their step here.
Saw Austin Fife get a lot more minutes, the other freshman part of that in the big victory against Valpo. Bennett Cook to the bench on that one. Anything in particular that led to that? And Bennett Cook, a chance for him maybe to earn some more minutes back with some – what are you looking for to get him those minutes back, I guess?
Yeah, less about Bennett having to earn the minutes back. And really, as I talked to Bennett about on Friday, and I talked to the team about that afternoon, we needed to start games better. And so then I've got to make a decision as to you know, what's going to be best to do that. And so we made that, you know, that's the move that we decided to make. And, you know, Austin has played well for us. He hasn't played a lot of minutes, but he's played well when he's had an opportunity. And just his, you know, he's physical, he's active, and he's able to make some plays for us. So, yeah, that's going to be it. You know, that's one of those things that is not a you know, not an easy thing when you're a fifth-year senior and you've been a starter and you've played a lot. He'll fight his way through that part, and I think that you know, we'll come out of this on the other side better for it.
Coach Ben Jacobson is our guest, you and I, here on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, so now you get the team that's in first place, the Drake Bulldogs, coming up. You've had great success against them, Coach.
No, we lost Jimmy B there. All right, Coach. Well, I'll finish the question for you. When you look across and you see Drake over there, what have they done to get in this position and Nico Medved really getting things turned around?
Well, you know, they've played great. And, you know, the things that as we have watched them on film here over the past couple of days in particular, they do a very good job defensively and really guard you. You know, they really play hard at that end and make things difficult for you. And you know, I always think that that's very important to be able to do that at the defensive end of the floor, and they're doing that right now. And offensively, you know, because of the lineup that they put on the floor, which has got four perimeter players and four guys that are really good players and handle the ball and make threes and really do a good job of playing with each other and playing off of each other, they can really stretch you out in transition. So you've got to be able to get back, and you've got to locate a number of different guys in the three-point line, but they also have guys that can get to the basket on you. So your transition defense has got to be good. And then once they get into the quarter court, you know, what Nico and their staff have done with them offensively in the quarter court is they're playing really sharp, really good basketball in the quarter court. You know, the actions they're running, they've got a lot of movement to them. They've got a lot of counters to things. So if you make a mistake, they're able to get you on a lob or a slip to the basket and get some easy ones. And then they can really involve Reed Timmer in a number of things. And Reed's been a really good player in this league for most of his career. And so those guys, you know, they've been playing together for a long time, and they've found a really good mix. And then Nico's doing a good job with them. They're playing great.
Final thing, Coach, with Drake coming to town, you're going to look across. You'll see, well, of course, Nico Medved down there, but also a former player that helped establish the program in a big way, Ali Farokhmanesh. What will it be like to look down the court and see Ali on the other side?
Yeah, you know, he's gotten himself off to a great start in terms of you know, getting into the coaching profession. You know, put in some time as a student assistant, graduate assistant type role, and was able to move his way up at Nebraska. And, you know, he's a young guy to have a full time position already in this league. And but having coached him and obviously the relationship that we've got, no surprise that he's been able to do that already. And we're proud of him. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, to break into this profession at his age. And so I know he's doing a terrific job as a coach, and this game will be a little different for him because of what he means to our program and what our program means to him. But you know, each time we play each other, that part of it's going to get a little bit easier. I'm just proud of him and the way he started his coaching career.
There he is, Ben Jacobson, the head coach for the UNI Panthers. Coach, as always, good talking with you. We'll do it again next Monday.
Okay, thanks, Trent.
Ben Jacobson checking in with us each and every Monday, presented by Washer Systems of Iowa, Power Washers, and a whole lot more. Stop on out to the showroom and see Jeff Egli and his great group. It's Washer Systems of Iowa, and our conversations with the coach, Ben Jacobson, each Monday here on 1700. We'll take a quick break. Come back on the other side. We will be talking with our man Wolfgang to cap things up. And also, a quick note there. Just saw the opening number is out. You and I, a 6-point favorite against the Bulldogs tomorrow up in Cedar Falls. 7 o'clock with the tip-off. It'll be on NBC Sports Chicago. Looking forward to that one tomorrow, 7 o'clock with the Panthers and the Bulldogs. And we'll have the call here on the UNI Radio Network with Gary Rima with the Panthers and the Dogs. We'll take a break, come back We talk to Wolfgang next as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC on 1700.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Sponsored by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with a golden flaky crust. All for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Hi, I'm Bridget, owner of Cryo Spa Mind and Body Wellness, located in front of Lifetime Fitness. Join us this month to celebrate our one-year anniversary. Experience world-class therapeutic services to help you recover, re-energize, and relax. Cryo Spa offers cutting-edge services like cryotherapy, infrared sauna, and the only low-level light therapy bed in the Midwest. Go to CryoSpa Iowa Facebook page now to enter our contest for a free membership. CryoSpa is a proud member of the Urbandale Chamber of Commerce, the only five-star accredited chamber in Central Iowa.
And we're back with you again here. Jimmy B and TC will take you up until 6 o'clock, our final segment of the day. And it's our man Wolfgang stopping by. Normally, talk a lot of Hawkeyes with him, some Cyclones, Panthers, a lot of in-state stuff. Today, we're going to expand the horizons a little bit. For the
Drake
most
basketball.
Part.
Drake basketball.
No. We're not talking Drake basketball. We can save that for another day. No, today, Wolfgang, you are locked and loaded. The Vikings, the comeback victory, looked like they were going to lose it in typical Vikings fashion. Instead, the Minnesota Miracle happens. First of all, the Minnesota Miracle. You like the name for this?
I do. I'm guessing you don't.
No, it's great. I love it.
Yes,
I love it.
I do. I like it. I mean, that obviously miracle. I mean, sports is sports. But what I tweeted out yesterday, I was like, sometimes sports is bigger. And I'm sitting there watching the Vikings, who I don't give a damn about, who I picked to the Super Bowl, Trent, as you know, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year, and it's looking good. Vikings versus Patriots, with Patriots winning. That's what I had. So far, it's looking good. But I was invested in that game, big time. I don't know why. Because, as you know, I got some Oklahoma in me, so I wanted Sam Bradford to be the dude. I started liking, big time, Case Keenum. I started liking him because, you know what? He could be great, but he can be stupid sometimes, Trent. Am I wrong? You probably watched more of him than I have.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, sometimes you go, this guy could be a freaking Pro Bowler. And other times you're like, yeah, I think he's stupid.
Take a guess, his completion percentage, something I think you and I...
Yeah, I saw it. I wouldn't have guessed it. No, it's great for you to bring that up, and yeah. I love that stuff. So I saw it, so I know. It was 67.7 or something like that.
Yeah, yep, 67.6% after the game.
I saw that, and I never would have gotten that even close to right had I not seen that on the telecast yesterday. But to watch him, do you agree with me? And I agree with actually Aikman. I can't stand Aikman. I'm not sure about you. I love me some Tony Romo. I think you've gone back and forth on Tony Romo. I can't stand Aikman. But he brought up some decent stuff yesterday, and he compared him a little bit to Brett Favre. Obviously, that sounds stupid. But he does have that, like, that flash, and you go, oh, my gosh, what did I just see? He's got some wheels. Brett Favre didn't really have wheels, so you can't really compare that to Brett Favre, obviously. But he makes throws that you probably shouldn't, and you complete, and then he makes throws and you just shake your head and you go, what are you thinking? You've watched him more than I have. What do you think of him?
No, I think that's a fair kind of just overview of him as a quarterback. There are throws that, frankly, seem pretty stupid at times, and that's probably the reason that he's a journeyman. You know, he's a career journeyman, and he ran into the right spot. Ran into a team that fix their offensive line. We saw the improvements that they had, though, during the second half of the game. New Orleans, that front, was wrecking the Vikings' offensive line in the second half until late in the game. But you go in there, you got two excellent weapons in Thielen and Diggs. You got a tight end that's good in Kyle Rudolph. I mean, he came into a spot that works very well for his skill set. And yeah, there are a couple of times that you're shaking your head. What was he thinking there?
Now, what do you mean his skill set? What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
A guy that has requisite arm strength, but he's not going to wow you. You know, he's
got fine. It's from what I've seen. I have no problem with his arm strength at all. His wheels are good.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I don't know what you mean by that. Why he fits in Minnesota better than he does everybody else?
Because he has talent around him. You know,
okay.
Last year with the Rams, not so much. Earlier in his career, when you go through and look at, you know, what he's did at the different spots, Houston to start things out, Rams, you know, just this team's a very talented team. That more than anything, that's what it is. He's around a talented team, and a lot of quarterbacks can look pretty good. Probably not at this level, though. He has taken this and run with it. And now you wonder, you know, he's going to be a free agent. The Vikings have a decision, and they beat the Eagles, get to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
What do you do? I think it is pretty simple. You got three quarterbacks at all. You got to figure out what you're going to do. Sam Bradford, probably the most talented of the guys, but
You really actually believe that? Because you and I are alone. I think he's the best. But now I'm starting to fall in love with Case Keenum. I'm not joking. I'm starting to fall in love with that guy.
He's the most talented, but you can't count on him. He can't stay healthy.
But why is that? And Tiff and I had this conversation yesterday. She's an Oklahoma freak. And I'm sticking up for the Oklahoma guy. I'm like, why is that his fault that he has never had an offensive line, Trent? I mean, the dude is accurate as all freaking bleep. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's good. He just needs weapons, a decent offensive line. By the way, is Reese doing pretty good? Riley Reese, is he not pretty good, or am I wrong?
He's pretty good, yeah. I mean, he's...
Because they were talking about him like he was about ready to get axed out of the NFL. What I'm seeing is not bad, not bad at all. A guy that definitely has... He's a starter, for God's sakes, at left tackle. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about like he was going to be gone, Trent. Am I saying that wrong? Was he not like everybody was poo-pooing him and who wanted him and blah, blah, blah? I'm watching him. He's never the problem. It's that Remmers guy. For God's sakes, dude. If they had even a better offensive line, think about that next year with the Vikings. And you watch his stuff, Trent, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this. I get goosebumps. And very rarely, though, do I get goosebumps watching a team that I am not a fan of. And that happened not just once, like five times. I woke up, watched it this morning, got goosebumps again. I'm like, what the bleep? I mean, that was something, I'm telling Tiff, this is something you will probably never see again. This was that good. Take this in. And we were cheering, we were yelling, and I'm rooting for Minnesota because they're local, they're Midwest. I picked them to the Super Bowl, but man, dude, I tell you, actually, I want to ask you this. Do you get goosebumps?
Do I get goosebumps?
Ever. I mean, give me...
Yeah, yeah.
Like sports or music or your kid scoring a goal or... Do you? Because I do, and people think that's a joke. People think I'm lying about that. I mean, I'll bring them, okay? Let's watch sports together. I will show you the Hawkeyes do the Drew Tate to Holloway. I will get goosebumps. I can prove it.
And it does have to be a sports moment. The first quarter wave, the first time that it happened, goosebumps. You know what?
You promised me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
People think I'm lying with that.
Yeah, well, people
think
weird.
That's like just a joke that you get goosebumps. I do.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Hey, for,
I love it.
For comparison's sake, so Matt Khalil was a disaster with the Vikings. He was number four selection overall. He wasn't very good as a tackle. They let him go. He went out to Carolina this year. He actually had a decent season, better than he had in Minnesota, but he wasn't very good. For comparison, he was ranked the number 56 tackle in football this year by Pro Football Focus.
Now, he was the guy that played last year or got hurt?
They all got hurt at some point during
the year. Yeah, they all got hurt. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. But he was healthy this year. Now, number 56, that's not real good.
Yeah, that sucks.
For comparison, Riley Reiff this year, ranked number 60 in tackles. He didn't have a very good year. For him, he did not have a very good year.
I'm watching with my eyeballs, dude. I watched him last year which is why I picked them this year, because I know Riley Reiff, right? We watch him with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not a joke. So I don't believe that Pro Football Focus, I'm telling you, is starting to grow on me, man. I don't know what they're watching. If you're telling me that Riley Reiff is comparable to the guy that I watched last year, that's why I picked him to the Super Bowl this year, Trent. That's why. Because I know Riley Reiff is better than the guy I saw.
Better than the 60th best tackle. I agree with you there, absolutely. Better than the 60th best. But it just
And how close is that, Trent? I mean, is it like a smidgen? I mean, you know what I mean? So he's the 60th. What's the difference between the 60th and the 30th?
Probably not a ton. Probably, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
A play a game, you know, is probably all it is, yeah. But Riley Reiff probably was not worth the money that they paid for him this year. I think that would be fair. But I'll tell you
what. Yes, he is, Trent.
Well,
yes, he is. Look what he's doing. I'm watching the games with my eyeballs. He's not a liability at all. He's got the dude. It's the Reimers or Remmers or whatever the hell his name is with the beard.
But
by the way, what's with the beard stuff? I'm sick of the beard stuff. Anyway,
you watched, but remember, you watched one game this closely. This is over the course
of
the
season. Yeah, I watched it really closely.
Right. This is one game.
This is true.
Yeah, over the whole season. But I'll tell you one thing. You ask any Vikings fan who they'd rather have this year, Riley Reiff or Matt Khalil, and I'll tell you to a T, every one of them saying Riley Reiff.
And it's almost 100%, right?
Yeah.
So I don't get that Pro Football Focus thing. And I love it too, dude. I love guys that break down that stuff. And we are guys that are real. They considered our offensive line the best, 2 years ago, right? And we were, okay, we're both Hawkeye fans, Trent, and we were like, what? Okay, we watched the game. So I don't know, man, but I love the breakdown. I love the analytics and how crazy this is getting. What I wanted to go to was Marcus Williams. I was talking to my buddy, Trent, and I believe he was an absolute stud this year. I'm not going to say I watch a ton of New Orleans Saints, but I do love Drew Brees. And the way he handled himself yesterday after that, when he was red-faced, when somebody didn't block his man, then after the game, he didn't cuss or curse at any of his offensive linemen. He just handles himself how you should. I love it. After the game, he was about ready to throw up. And he gathered himself, and he just went over there and just, I love guys like that, man. I love me some Drew Brees. Well, we're talking about Marcus Williams, and my buddy makes fun of me for after games. I feel bad for guys. Like, I'm so happy and, like, yelling. But Marcus Williams, everybody's killing this guy. And if you watch the replay, Trent, watch this. I've watched it on, like, 57 times. Nobody has pointed this out. Please. He didn't want to hit him early, which would have been, they would have gotten the ball at, the 34?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Meaning a 49, 50, 51-yarder, right?
Yes.
Most field goal kickers are going to make that. Nobody's pointing that out. He missed, and that's probably the wrong thing to do, right? But that's what we saw. That's what I saw him do. Did you see him do that? He tried. He was there too early. So he had to miss because it would have been a 15-yard penalty, a penalty where he got it there. And it would have been a 49, 50, 51-yarder. Boom.
Yep.
Dude makes it, and they still lose. They still lose, Trent.
Well, I don't think Viking fans would be feeling very confident with a kick on the line to win a playoff game. Yeah, I
very think good. But would you? I would have bet on them making it. A 49-yarder?
You would have.
Yes, I would have.
Oh, I would not have. I would not have. We could have bet
a
against
49-yarder with a – okay.
History is on my side on that one. We'll never have to know, though.
History. History can suck it. History can suck it. What does that have to do with anything with today? So you believe in the jinx? Is that what you're saying? The Cubs just won, Trent.
Yes, they did.
Your favorite team, the Cubs, wink, wink.
That was a team. Oh, jeez. That was a team well-constructed, put together. They did win. The Vikings very well could win this year because of the way they're constructed, a great defense to go along with great wide receivers, a good offensive line. They are constructed well. No, I don't believe in jinxes as in, well, that's going to be...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be the difference between, you know, a team, well, they just can't win because there's that jinx out there. No, there's more to it. But there's something to be said about the psyche and lining up and trotting out there, because you know Kai Forbath. He knows the history. He's heard about it. He's been asked the questions throughout time. These guys, they know those types of things. Is Kai Forbath a guy that you want to go out there trotting out for a 51-yarder? I wouldn't be confident. Now, I'm not a Vikings fan, but I live with
confident? One. Confident? What do you mean by confident? Give me a percentage chance of him making a 50-yarder.
In that spot?
Yes. I'm being serious. I'm being serious, Ryan.
It's still probably, what, 65%?
So, yes.
But I'm taking the 35% because I've seen it before.
Oh my God.
I've seen it before. All right, Wolfgang, take us to the moment. You mentioned Marcus Williams missing the tackle. Ball is in the air. What's going through the mind of Wolfgang, who jumped on the Vikings train?
Okay, well, yeah, after the fact, I felt sorry for him. My buddy makes fun of me for that. After the fact, I felt sorry for him. During the fact, I'm going, what the bleep is he doing? Because, I mean, we have a different angle. We're seeing it. But when you see the different angles, you see he was going to get there too soon. Trust me. I've looked at this. You know me. I'm a little bit of a weirdo, and I watch things over and over again. He was going to be there too early. That's why he tried to avoid the tackle. Everybody's like, Tiff is going on Facebook. I'm not a Facebook dude. Not on Facebook. Have never been on Facebook. And she's older than me. Never been on Facebook. And she's like, all these people are saying it was rigged. It was totally they threw the game. Is that going around?
Because the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings are a team that have gotten all the breaks throughout the year. Get out of here with that, jeez. Come on, Tim.
Oh, so is this news to you that people are saying that or no?
People are weird. People are nuts, Wolfgang. No, it's not a surprise, but the conspiracy theories. All right, Jinx says I can believe it a little bit because it more... the psyche. If Kai Forbath is running out in the field, the sounds, the murmur of the crowd, I do think that plays into it a little bit. The almost, the dread. You can feel that inside
what,
of the stadium.
Now, say that again now. What are you talking about?
Oh,
the buzz?
Yes.
The buzz of the
yes.
Yes, I agree.
You can feel that nervous energy. Go back, watch games at Fenway before they finally broke through, and it was just the inevitable. Same thing in Wrigley at Cubs games, that feeling of dread. Like, oh, here we go again. And it's not just an individual fan that's doing it. It's a crowd of baseball, 40,000 people, football, 70,000 people. That plays in. You hear that. Kai Forbath would have been hearing that yesterday if he hadn't tried out there for a 51-yarder. I do believe that. But conspiracy theories that they wanted the Vikings to win? So what? The NFL said, all right, what we're going to do here, Marcus Williams, you're going to get buzzed down. Make sure you miss this tackle. What the hell are we talking about here? That's some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard.
Hey, I'm not on Facebook. I know nothing about this, Brent. I have no idea what's happening. She's telling me that people are saying this. I got off Twitter. I just kept rewatching that last 5 minutes. It was freaking awesome. So good. But the Marcus Williams, and I'll tell you, I feel so bad for the guy. And the reason people are saying that, Trent, is because it looks so awkward. It looked ridiculous, right? He didn't even have his... like he didn't even have his arms out to tackle him. Why? Because he got there too soon.
Yep.
If he gets there too soon, what happens, Trent? They get the ball there at the 35, 34, 33.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Nobody's pointing that out. Have you heard that? I listen to ESPN. I haven't been on Twitter a ton, but blah, blah, blah. Have you seen? Nobody's pointing that out. Am I missing something? Why is nobody pointing that out? They act as like he went... I mean, I'm not going to say that word, but like stupid. But he was trying to miss him because he was afraid that he was going to tackle him and get a penalty.
No, you're right.
Hoping the ball was going to probably go, you know, somewhere else. Man, I feel bad for this guy. I'm a dork. I feel really bad for him.
He said the ball was in the air. I didn't go attack it. And when he came down.
No, he did attack it. That was the problem.
But the timing was off. You're right on that point. His timing was off because he got there a split. He didn't attack the ball, though. He went to attack Diggs after it. He said he should have attacked the ball, which, I mean, in a way is right. But regardless.
Why nobody's pointing that out is beyond me.
No, I've heard people say
that. Like in mid-tackle.
No.
He got a concussion. No, he was trying to not hit him on purpose.
Yes.
To not... All right, if you've heard this, you let me know. I haven't heard it.
Yeah, I've heard a few people mention that, but you're right. You're right. He got there a smidge early, didn't want to get pass interference, and threw the timing off, and well, he went through his legs, and, well, 61 yards later, here we are. Touchdown Vikings, and one of the most incredible endings to not just a playoff game, but a football game of all time. Not a Hail Mary. This is just a little out route, a deep corner route. Open one-on-one coverage. Guy misses it, and the Vikings are playing for the NFC Championship Sunday at 5:40, and Wolfgang will be wearing his purple and gold.
I'm in. I'm into Case Keenum now. I was into Sam Bradford. I'm into the Vikings now. I want to be right, but I also kind of like him. I love defense, and I love this quarterback. I think if he just slows down a little bit, Trent, I think we got something here. I'm being serious. I think we got something with the Vikings. And I said, we, yes, Ken Miller.
Look at you again with the we. Now you're jumping on this bandwagon with the we. Fun stuff today, Wolfgang. Hey, and some more good news. Vikings fans certainly with smiles on their faces. You couple that with you and I, Iowa State get wins over the weekend. It's all starting to pump back up here locally, is it? And then we get a top matchup. You said you want to talk Drake. Hey, number one team in the MVC right now, the Drake Bulldogs. They get you and I tomorrow night.
Yeah, you're going to have to talk Drake.
Okay. No, you're not going there.
But I did watch Iowa State this weekend, and Wigington, holy crap, was that fun. And when that place, when Hilton Coliseum gets going, that is so fun. But I do get what some of their fans get pissed about when they get quiet, because it can go from, like, the loudest place in the history of college basketball to, like, all of a sudden, like, everybody's nervous and it's not happening, just like you talked about. It's really freaking weird. Mm-hmm. But I love that guy. Number 39 recruit, I believe. I don't know if it was 24/7 or Rivals or Scout or who it was. This dude, do you know how tall he is, Trent?
He's
like
only,
literally. I mean, I don't care what they listen at. I don't know what they listen at.
Wigington,
I'm asking you, how tall is he?
See, I thought he was tall. He's only listed at 6'2". See, and I thought he was more like 6'4". Watching him the first couple of times, but it's 6'2". I asked that question, in fact, to a beat guy, and they're like, no, he's 6'2".
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I agree. He's not very tall.
No.
So he is not going to the NBA. This is great for Iowa State.
Right now,
he is awesome. No, he can't. No way. A 6'2 guy is going to leave early for the NBA. No way. This is great for Iowa State. I'm pumping up Iowa State. I'm not bashing this kid. NBA is a different game, Trent. He's not going to the NBA now. This is awesome. If I were an Iowa fan, if I were an Iowa State fan, I'd be pumped about this. He's awesome, and he can't go to the NBA, Trent.
We can. I mean,
he can, but it'd be stupid.
Well, that's another part of it. Yes, yeah.
Are you disagreeing with me?
Well, he can. You're saying he can't. Yes, he can.
Oh, I know he can, Trent. Should he?
Should he? No. He's not even playing point guard right now.
I know.
And he won't play point guard next year. Do you know that Nick Weiler-Babb is fifth in the country in assists per game?
Fifth in the country. Yeah. And then he's got
crazy.
What's he got? Is it 12-7-7?
Yeah.
He's the only guy, 12-7-7, I believe, still. Mm-hmm. That should still be up there. I mean, I love the dude. I love watching the guy. I can't wait to go watch him live. And then, yeah, why could they not win the Big 12 tournament? Why could they not? I mean, if they continue to get better, I mean, this is why this could be fun, Trent. No team in Iowa is getting in just by their play right now. But Iowa State could.
Well, here's the problem. Here's number one. They're still going to be playing one of the opening games. This team's not finishing in the top six. So you have to play either in the 7-10 game or the 8-9 game. You got to win four consecutive games. There just isn't enough consistency for this team to win four consecutive games against the competition mm-hmm. that they're going to face. I can't see it. If they keep winning, find some wins here, all right? We'll go down to this road.
The Big 12 is sick, Trent. Go ahead.
At TCU Wednesday. They come home, but it's Texas Tech who is playing.
Loss. Okay, so loss first, and then what was the second one?
At Texas Tech at home, who's really good.
I'll give you a win there.
At Texas, team that they just lost to in Hilton.
Lost.
They get the SEC Big 12 Challenge game against Tennessee.
Tennessee's good this year.
They are.
Fortunately.
Then it's West Virginia. Then you're at Baylor. Then you're at Texas Tech. Then you come home. You come home back-to-back with Oklahoma and Kansas. You go on the road to a K-State team that beat you by 20. After that, you're back home, but it's TCU. You're at West Virginia. You get Oklahoma State at home, and then at Oklahoma to finish it up.
You're saying they're going winless, and I agree with you.
No, I'm not saying that. Put words in my mouth. You're going to get me in trouble, Wolfgang. You're going to get me out of trouble. We're out of time.
No, you just totally ruined my – I was like, oh, yeah, these guys are good.
Yeah.
Watch them. Ooh, man, I tell you what, week two is unbelievable. Now you're putting me the other way.
The rest of the Big 12 is really good. That's the problem more than anything. In a rebuilding year, you'd like to have the conference also be down so you can find some wins. It's just tough to find wins in that schedule, to find a bunch of wins, I should say, in that schedule. And that's the reality. Hey, I'm out of time. You got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Go home.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
See ya.
Got to go rewatch that Minnesota game again.
There you go. Be good.
Go Vikings.
Wolfgang Hawkeye checking in with us. And that'll do it for the show today. Thanks again to everybody out there for listening. A lot of fun here this afternoon. We got a full recap of that Vikings game earlier today with my man, Ted Glover. Great catching up with Ted. Talked with you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, earlier this hour. If you miss any portion of the program, you can always go back and find it on the podcast page over at 1700 KBGG. Audio Boom is where they're uploaded to. Or with your favorite, Stitcher, iTunes, search Jimmy B and TC, or The Ken Miller Show with Trent Connan. You can find all of our podcasts over there. Thanks to everybody out there for listening in. Enjoy Big Monday. It's back. I'm back in a big-time way. Looking forward to it. We'll be back tomorrow starting at noon, myself and Ken Miller, and then Jimmy B here from 4 until 6. Your home for real sports talk, for real sports fans, 1700.